And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show rounding up all the hottest in gaming news you need to know about this week and discussing all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm one of your hosts, James Walmer, brought to you today by the spiciest meatball in the gaming industry, Vincent DeSantis, and the man himself, Ryder Maldonado, the freeze framer.
I like to freeze in frames.
Everybody, thank you so much to our audio listeners who are listening to us on the podcast universe is going on out there. Don't forget to drop a rating. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Please hit that subscribe button. That helps us a lot. If you're interested, you can be a member and watch the full podcast on our channel. Finn, tell us about what else is going on the channel.
Guys, if you didn't know, you are currently listening to the historic episode 100 of Checkpoint.
That's right.
So, in honor of 100 Checkpoint episodes and 50 freeze frame episodes this week, Strictly Casual has launched a very limited time merch drop. You can find the link to that merch in the description of this video. If you're listening on audio platforms, you can check any of our social medias. You'll find a link to the merch there too. But we got a hat, we got a crew neck, we got a shirt in a couple different colors, and it's super exciting. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, you only have about 10 more days to order. So don't wait. If you're thinking about like, I'll buy it in like a week, I'll buy it in a week. It might be gone. It might be gone. You missed your opportunity. So you better hop on it. You know what I mean? I still haven't ordered my stuff, and I got to do it today. I got to get in it. But we're super, super excited about it, and we can't wait to see you guys like posting pictures in the shirts, baby. You can't wait to repost all that good stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Vin, Ryder. We'll start with Vin, then we'll go to Ryder. How are you doing? What are you playing?
James, last night on my 10th try against Sephiroth, I beat Final Fantasy VII Remake on normal difficulty, and it was so hard. It was such a challenging game for me, but it is hard. It took me 53 hours to beat that game, and it is in my top 20 games of all time. It has to be. James, there are spoilers in the story that I will not tell you, but it is different than the original Final Fantasy VII game.
I know.
It does things in there that I'm like, oh my god, I can't wait for the sequel. This is ridiculous. I didn't think I'd be that excited about it, but I am. So, I mean, I could talk about that a lot more, but I also been playing Undertale. I'm almost done. I'm trying to get that Platinum Trophy. I love Undertale. And then started Wolf Among Us. I only played about 30 minutes. Okay. James, you'll have more to say about that.
I will have more to say.
And jumped into some Destiny this week as well, getting ready for Witch Queen next week. And I watched a shit ton of Elden Ring videos to try to prepare for next week.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch all the class breakdowns and stuff like that?
I watched like 10 class down breakdowns. Yes,
yes. What's the verdict, Ben? What are we thinking?
It's going to be profit, dude. I'm really leaning towards it.
What about the profit?
I need...
Really, is it the wheel around the neck?
No, I honestly, it's not the armor because the armor's not for me. Big wheel guy. It's the play style.
Big fucking wheel guy.
It's the, you know, range stuff. Plus, you can still
like
do the
incantations and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Dude, the claw attack is insane. Like in the beta build.
Know. Yeah.
That claw attack that you like go along the ground and you like send out claws.
It's a good one.
It's like at one shots like everything.
Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah. I just can't wait to co-op boss it and all that. That's gonna be awesome too.
Dang. Yeah.
We're gonna have another cleric beast situation. Vin, I texted you last night at like 10 p.m. And you were like, dude, I can't fucking wait to play this game co-op. Yeah. And I said, then we're going to have a Bloodborne situation on our hands. I fear it.
It can't be because I didn't give the controller to you to do it for me. It's different. It's different.
Wait, I thought I did. Okay, so my understanding of how it went down was you invited me into your world and I killed it for you.
No, dude. You took the controller from my hands. You're like, this is an easy fight. And you just beat it for me right here, right there. That's how that went. And I'm like, I got to restart now.
but to be like, but also, hold on. Let's think about it this way. Okay. The cleric beast maybe takes 15 minutes to get to.
You're right, but it took me 2 hours of gameplay. I have like 3 hours of gameplay on Bloodborne. I did not make it past the cleric beast.
We'll see how it works with Elden Ring.
We'll see how it works. I don't know.
But the good news is you went from one hard game, right? It's hard in a different way than Elden Ring, but a game that took a lot of persistence.
What?
Right, for you to beat. Talking about Final Fantasy.
Oh my god. A lot of persistence. Yes.
So maybe you've built up some stamina.
Sure.
With Final Fantasy. You had to run a marathon just to run 2 miles.
It could be. It maybe. Honestly could be.
But that's good training because when, like, when I hop into a game, it takes so long to boot the game, then go to the main menu. Now, by the time I conjure the thought to play a game, to actually gameplay, I'm already like, I'm out. I'm done.
It's so horrible. That's bad. Yeah.
That is yeah. See, that's why I hate playing games on PC because I feel
it
like
it takes forever to so watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryder, what should we play?
Ryder. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been jumping around a lot. You know, I've been playing a little, you know, like Jurassic World, a little bit of like Star Wars Battlefront.
Wait,
you know,
Jurassic,
just random.
Jurassic
World Evolution 2. So it's like a park builder
the
game.
Park builder. Yeah.
Play a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront 2, and then I've been playing this little indie game. You might have not have heard of it.
Yeah.
Destiny 2. And oh, so no. I've been grinding through that one.
I thought you were gonna say the other one, the other game you've been playing.
Oh. Yeah. I also discovered this game called 5 Dates, which is like a dating simulator. So I kind of feel like it's real life. It's real live action. Like it's real footage and you're just kind of making choices. So I was like, oh, this is fun. I'll dabble into this. And I don't know. I felt like I was invading people's privacy. So I felt a little uncomfortable there. But it was fun. It was a good experience. And yeah, Destiny 2, just watching a crap ton of videos of like, here's everything you need to do. And I'm like, I'll get on there right now.
I have to cut you off. You need to play Doki Doki Literature Club.
What is this?
I'm not kidding you. You need to play. Don't research it. Okay. Don't research it. It's like $15.
Oh.
Just play it, and it's legitimately a good ass game. Like
okay, Doki Doki. Well,
it's very highly acclaimed, but you can't research it because there's major like plot spoilers if you like research because there is a twist, and like the twist in it. If you figure out what the twist is, it might kill it for you.
Oh no! Okay.
So
that's my long list. Of games.
I also know the twist, but I really want to play it still. But I hope that I can live vicariously through you as we play it. That is my hope. Boys, this week I played 3 episodes of Wolf Among Us.
Halfway done.
Oh,
it is 5 episodes.
Nice.
It's I don't remember.
Okay.
But it's 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And it is... When I think I have everything figured out, I do not have everything figured out. There are twists and turns in this game that I never could have anticipated. Characters are changing right and left. I thought I stood with some characters, but now I'm in places. I'm making some of the hardest decisions in my entire life. I told them when I started this game,
wow.
I said, Vincent, I'm running this game and I'm not doing any reloads of any saves whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even if I look away for a second and I miss a decision, I'm still going forth with it.
Yeah.
Like I have to make room for mistakes.
Yeah.
And just keep going because you know what? And I think that is the special sauce of playing Telltale games is because that's life. Like you can't go back and remake decisions.
That's life.
That's life. You can't go back and remake decisions. Because I think that's how Telltale games are meant to be played, right? They're not made for these perfect playthroughs. Like you can go back maybe. But they're made to be very like in the moment experiences where they're timed. Like you have to make a decision, and like that resembles our real life choices and our like the character, like real life relationships have like will in a split second say something that we might regret 2 seconds later just because it felt right in the moment. We might not have full understanding of what was going on, and we can't go back and say, "Oh, now I understand what's going on." Because in real life, we find ourselves in those situations. We're like, "Oh shit! I just need to find something to say," and then you fuck up, and then you hurt a relationship. And you're like, oh shit, I didn't mean that. And so then you have to go about and do that work to try and reconcile that after the fact. Just like in Wolf Among Us, just like in real life.
I very agree. As you're playing it.
As soon as credits roll, it just deletes itself forever. And that's it. That'd be insane. That'd be nuts.
Have you played Wolf Among Us, Ryder?
No, but I played Telltale. And I hear Wolf Among Us is one of the better Telltale games of all of them. But I
what
played both
have
the
you
Batman.
Okay.
Both the Batman storylines and a little bit of the Guardians one. And so those.
Batman Guardians was like, not good.
Oh, yeah, that one was rough.
It's terrible.
Batman's.
It's terrible. But the Batman is
yeah.
so good.
Batman's, oh, they hit, yeah.
Batman's good.
You guys should go back and play The Walking Dead.
I did.
I
played
like watched playthroughs already.
The first season and the second season of Walking Dead, but I never made it to the third season.
I had those
See,
down.
See, when I was the playing the walk when I was The Walking Dead, when I was playing The Walking Dead, I was not like I didn't have the same mindset I do now regarding Telltale games.
Yeah.
And so it was so hard for me to like commit to choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those games that I would like freeze, I would pause the game. I would do like 5 minutes of research on like, what's the best decision to make.
Yeah.
Like, and then go forth with it to try and get the best ending.
Google the
but
outcomes.
Like, right. Google the outcomes to like, what do I want? What do I want? You know, but like then now going to of like, oh, well, like that's just, it's a part, it resembles real life.
That's life, baby.
And I'm like, all right, that's just, that's life, baby. That's the game.
James Wallmer, 2020.
That's life. James Wallmer, 2022. There it is.
Let's get into it, baby.
Let's get into it.
Starting off, we have possibly the biggest game of the year, potentially.
Potentially. A little game
called Horizon Forbidden West. And the reviews are out, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get started into these. We got three here. First one's from GameSpot, giving it a solid 8 out of 10. They said the story that drives you through the frontier is often well told and does well to center actual characters rather than audio logs. And while the map is littered with icons, it's much more often they're fun, skillfully crafted diversions that random busy work to fill a checklist. There's a huge amount to do and see in Horizon Forbidden West, and the great majority of it is worth doing and seeing thanks to strong writing, great visuals, and some marked improvements to the series' underlying ideas. Okay, pretty solid.
And that's our boy, Phil Hornshaw.
Hornshaw.
Games Radar, Sam Loveridge, gives it a 4.5 out of 5, saying, quote, "What Guerrilla Games has achieved here is nothing short of phenomenal. Story, gameplay, mechanics, and the world itself are all such an improvement on the original game, which in itself is a feat alone. The climbing, ironically, is the only thing that really holds back from utter perfection. And it's not enough to make Aloy's latest story go without anything bar the highest recommendation. You know a game is good when the robot dinosaurs aren't the thing you want to talk to your friends about first."
Wow.
Huge. This next one comes from a website called Gaming Bolt. "Horizon Forbidden West is an impressive achievement in storytelling, game design, and technology, and improving upon its predecessor in nearly every way possible. It delivers one of the finest games of its kind in recent memory." This comes from Shobhankar Parijit.
And
I'm going to try and go for that.
It's got an 89 on Metacritic right now.
It's got an 89 on Metacritic. And I need to talk about the Kind of Funny Gamescast review.
Let's hear it.
Because that review brought up many points that that allowed me to make the decision, or that, sorry, I don't know what the right way to say that phrase, that turned me off from the game.
Before you say your stance on Horizon, let's say I'm a first-time listener of Checkpoint. You've never heard James Wallmer talk about Horizon before. Where do you stand on the first game / your excitement level for the second game, and then get into that?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Vincent. I did not particularly enjoy Horizon Zero Dawn. I thought the story just wasn't gripping for me. I mean, it was interesting in a lot of ways, but the characters didn't pull me in enough. The supporting cast was not strong. I wasn't driven by any of the core gameplay. In the late game, a lot of the bosses and a lot of the enemies turned out to just be big bullet sponges, even though the game was very like tied around this idea of like very strategic gameplay with trying to pick off components of these robots to get to like vulnerable points that do huge damage. But that just wasn't my experience in the late game. And then the melee combat was also not good. There was way too many human enemies to fight, and a lot of the reasons that made fighting robots enjoyable did not carry over to humans in any way, shape, or form. And is there anything else I should mention? My anticipation. So in looking forward to the second game, I still carry a lot of those concerns.
Yeah.
Plagued my experience with the first game. Right. And in addition, they level locked me out of the last mission.
Yeah.
I had to go out and grind like 5-10 more levels. Mm. And the side content was not interesting enough to pull me in.
Yeah.
So I dropped it. And I did not finish it because I actually don't think I know what happens at the end of the game.
Okay. I wish it was interesting enough for me to like tell you. I don't know, Ryder, you just don't remember?
Gameplay is the only thing that hooks me in, but I'm with you. The story is like, there's so many side characters that are kind of forgettable that it's hard to grasp the story, you know? Like,
that's exactly where I'm at.
Aloy is the strongest, of course, but it's not even as strong as I think it could be. But yeah, gameplay is kind of the best thing they have going for it. So where I'm at with that one.
So when I was listening to the Kind of Funny Games cast, they were talking about the melee combat, how some people thought it just wasn't much of an improvement. It feels the same as the first. Blessing did. So there's different skill trees in Horizon Forbidden West that allow you a little more variability in play style. And so he chose to spec out the melee tree. And so he said it still never feels right, but it feels better because there are longer combos with special like finishers and things like that that make the experience a little more satisfying, which gave me a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
But a lot of people shared, like, if you don't spec into that tree specifically, you just don't get that added benefit. Some people had the same gripes about fighting humans more than dinosaurs, not understanding human conflict as well as it could be. Vincent, what stuck out to you?
I mean, there was a lot. They all rated it very highly, but they had a lot of complaints about things that weren't, they were expecting to be better from the first game. Like, I would say almost everything they mentioned is a step up, but not a leap up. Like, it's a step up on some things where, like, as for melee combat specifically, I wanted a leap up. But I also listened to the Skill Up review, who I love Skill Up's reviews. He does a great job, like, really digging into some stuff. But he was talking about a lot of the same negatives that other people have. So it was very consistent. But the things that he said that were good about the game are just so much more exciting to me than, like, that, like, I can't wait to play this game, even if the melee combat is not exactly what I wanted it to be or like other things. He's saying the mechanics and the actual like moment to moment gameplay is so much more fun than the original game. And that's really what it comes down to, is like, I hope I like it because I'm mid on the first game. The first game isn't bad to me. It's just not, it's way overhyped in my opinion. So like, I don't know. He said the story in this one is completely sci-fi. It's like the most sci-fi story he's ever seen in a video game in the last couple of years. And it's different, like all sorts of stuff. He's like, the characters are stronger than the first game. A lot of gripes that I had personally that seem to be fixed a little bit. But I'm not expecting a perfect game by any means here. So my expectations are set that it's going to be better than the first game, but not a 10.
I also remember another thing they talked about, which was they wished there was more choice in the game that had actual repercussions. Who's calling you?
PlayStation Direct is calling me to tell me that my Horizon order, but I can't answer it.
There we go.
On stream or on this, but that's okay.
Sorry. Sony's.
They were talking about choice and how the game would kind of like put you in situations that could be divisive. Like, there's one instance in which there's like a traitor amongst the tribe or whatever, and so you're kind of in the middle of this, however you don't actually get to make a decision as to like who is the traitor. You're just kind of like in this side story and like kind of a passive participant in it, rather than making active decisions and that don't have, or make an active decision that would have like actual repercussions for the game world, which is something a game, I would say, sorry, this is sounds kind of, I don't want to sound berating, but as mediocre as Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I felt did well with that one storyline where there's a three different.
Oh yeah, that was good.
People, and you actually get to choose who to kill.
I think this is a different experience entirely, though. Like, I don't expect games to always, I expect them to respect the choices that I make, but I don't expect that the choices are going to always make the outcome of the game if they have a story they're trying to tell, like linearly. Yeah.
But then, how do your choices matter then?
Well, it's like what the game is showing you to do.
Yeah,
it's
maybe
like,
the path.
Yeah, the Last of Us or whatever. Like, that game is crafted to tell you the story, but through the story moments, you're going through whatever the main characters do.
Do you kill?
Right, but this is very much like they give you choice. Like, in Last of Us, they don't give you choice. You have dialogue decisions you can make.
Right,
in Horizon Forbidden West.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. But
even you know what I mean? Like, why give dialogue options if they're not going to amount to anything?
Yeah. Just, I don't know, to make you seem like you're Aloy more than someone else.
Right, but which is a little bit like
role playing.
It feels a little cheap to me.
Yeah. I've experienced that with so many games, though, it doesn't bother me as much anymore.
But maybe, like, is that just because it's become normalized? Like, should we be asking more of dialogue, in-game dialogue, and making that meaningful?
So the thing they thought wasn't great was the dialogue in the game. So that's another.
Which the dialogue was also not very good in Horizon Zero Dawn.
No, it was not.
Yeah, that's what pulled me out of it.
Right, are you excited?
That's what pulled me out of it too.
Yeah, I strictly, like, I love Kind of Funny's reviews and I would watch them for AAA games, but I've, you know, purely by choice, I didn't listen to anything because after watching some of the gameplay trailers that we've reacted to, I was already sold on the combat, the melee combat especially, so. And the traversal, the water very much interests me. The water traversal, that's so different. And that's another big selling point for me. But I haven't watched anything, and I didn't want to hear anything because I'm like, I want to hop in and kind of get it's for this one as well.
Yeah.
This one especially. I mean,
in the grappling,
I will probably still, I will still probably pick up this game on a sale for like $40.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, it's a $40 for me, but I don't know. I kind of want to do a day one.
I'll let you guys know, boys. Next week. Yeah. Next week I'll have the report.
There's no for sure.
If I have time to play that between freaking Witch Queen and Elden Ring next week.
Witch Queen, dude. Witch Queen luck, is soldier. All in.
Witch Queen, babe. I'm more excited for Witch Queen than Elden Ring and Horizon coming out next week. I'm
very hyped for Witch Queen over a lot.
Holy
stuff,
that hurt me. Crap. Oh my God, I'm so excited. It's going to be awesome. All right. What time is it? So I have a time check. Holy cow. 20 minutes. We're on the second.
I'm like, I'm good.
All right.
We're just cruising.
We're moving on. Guys, it is finally here. Cyberpunk 2077's return to consoles is practically a checklist of what everyone mocked. This comes from Kotaku. First off, before we get into this article, should I ask you guys if you're hyped after we read some of these changes? Or should we get a hype gauge right now?
I'm surprised.
Hype gauge right now.
That's what
hype gauge right now.
Yeah.
Is I don't have my game with me.
That's fair. Okay. Ryder?
Hype gauge right now is a little more over the five because I'm surprised by what they've showcased here. I'll get into it once we break down what this is.
CD Projekt Red's Keanu Reeves fanfic Cyberpunk 2077 might finally be complete. A massive update to the game rolls out today alongside its release on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. Summarized to make things concise, that was a note to myself. PS5 and Series X play at 4K 60 frames per second. Series S is 1440 30 frames per second, so Series S not running it as well at all. Ray tracing will turn PS5 and Series X into 4K 30 frames per second if you choose to turn it on. There's a free 5-hour trial of the game available on next-gen consoles, and the saves do transfer to the full game if you choose to purchase it afterwards.
There you go.
It's also on sale for $19.99 right now, still.
$25, JK,
which is still great. Nice. The next-gen update comes along Cyberpunk 2077's patch 1.5, which clocks in at 50 gigabytes, and among other things, features a reworked perk system, God bless. Some skills are getting enhanced, while others are getting removed from the skill tree entirely, such as... There was a perk that says you can't be detected underwater. There's like zero underwater segments in this game at all.
Going to puddles.
I don't get it.
You just dive into puddles on the street.
But there's the knife throwing's good now. Can't wait to check that out because that was really mediocre beforehand. And maybe a boomerang apparently. So if you're dusting off an old save file, you'll have all of your perk points unassigned so you can just re-perk yourself right away.
I love that.
It introduced a rebalanced combat system where enemies will seek cover, finally react more intelligently, and are overall more clever.
The AI was dumb as fuck.
It was stupid. It was the T-pose, like...
I'll get you. Wait there.
Exactly. Driving has also been improved. On stream, CDPR showed off the main character V doing smooth donuts in a sports car at an intersection.
Thank God. The driving was ass, though.
It was eh. It was
the driving a lot was of stuff so from the base game.
The world
for a game that had that much driving in it, it needed to be significantly improved.
I just drove a lot of motorcycles, which felt a lot better to me than the cars. Fair enough. And Keanu Reeves 9/11, it was sick. Okay, the world itself has also been significantly improved with changes implemented to make it feel more real. Crowds will realistically react to your actions and won't despawn any longer when you spin around. And the city itself looks lively in a way that it simply did not in the game's launch state, which is very cool. I saw a video of a guy walking across a crosswalk, very busy, and he shoots at the ground to make cars start driving out of the way and people running away. And like the car hit another car and then ran into a bunch of people on the road and they died, like straight up dead on the ground, and the car drives away. I was like, what? This would have never happened when I played the game at all.
So they would have despawned before.
I would have looked around and there would have been no car and nobody in the background. A couple more things. The changes all come amid a litany of quantity of life changes, including a big overhaul of the map, which is so specific now as to show you how many gigs you've completed. Thank God. And for specific fixers, aka the 2077 quest givers. In-game vendors will now hawk their wares at reasonable prices. You can change your character's appearance in-game at the mirror in your apartment, a feature so nice that they showed it twice. And there's new apartments you can choose from instead of just the one.
Apartments!
With different themes. You can theme your apartment different things. Yeah. Very cool. In other words, it seems like Cyberpunk 2077 might be the game everyone wanted it to be. I would disagree because there's fundamentally things about the game that people aren't going to like. But it's big changes that are very positive. Mm-hmm. And then the last point is just that why the hell would they launch this days before three of this quarter's biggest launches? I don't get it. But well, okay, we'll get into that in a sec. We'll speculate. Yeah. But tell me what you guys are thinking, because if you're a first time listener here, I have beat Cyberpunk. I have 50 plus hours in Cyberpunk. I really, really, really love the game. I'm not going to say it's amazing because there's some big problems with it, but I really love it.
Okay. I'll say a couple of things. One, I think for me, the last time I played this game was on base, the original update, like the very first time the game came out. And so I'm waiting out until like an actual 1.0 patch to where the game is like, hey, we're finally done with it. Every bug is gone. Yeah. We'll hop in and hopefully have a new experience with this game. And that's, I hope, what a lot of people have, is that they come back into it. It's like, this is a new experience. And it feels solid, like a Cyberpunk game that I wanted, you know, because.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't really have that many crashes or glitches the first time I played it.
Which also, because you played on Xbox,
Xbox One X. So yeah, it wasn't that bad, but I understand people's gripes with like the driving. That happened to me a lot. But also, I'll never forget when it came to like the crowd and kind of the NPCs. And I think that was kind of the biggest things when it came to trailers, you know, and what they showcased to now is like, that's kind of the biggest thing that needs to be improved. So I hope that they, you know, again, I haven't hopped into it yet, but, you know, based on the footage, it looks like they're getting there.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's some speculation on why they kind of released it. But James, let's hear your thoughts, too.
My hype went from like a 4 to like a 7.
Okay. Wow.
I just reading this, I'm like, I essentially just thought it was a graphical and like some minor improvements. Mm-hmm. It like made it just kind of like up to snubbed for a next gen title, but like it really seems like they put in a lot of work into this.
Yeah,
I mean, which they kind of had to. If it was anything short of this, it would have been axed. Like it would have been really bad.
Yeah.
There's already like, if you go on Video Game Chronicle's like website, they have a poll about how do you feel about it, and like a big like 35% of people said like it should have just released like this, which even then is a strong reaction. And one of the other options is like, yes, I'll play it now. So, like, you still have a big portion of people through that poll, which, again, is, you know, small number of people because it's just one outlet. But, it like, 35% of people are, like, still upset that, like, the game should have released this way. But that being said, I'm still really excited. So, I've only put in about maybe 6 hours into the original game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to put in hours in this game that's, like, I know it's going to come out if again and going to be...
Yeah.
If there's no return and I'm going to, like, come... I want to play in the way it was kind of meant to be played. Yeah. So I can't wait to jump back into this once I'm like in the summer drought of not having any games to play. So that's what it's going to be for me. I'm going to come to that. And then I like, that's also where Final Fantasy VII Remake is also going to come on into my play log after Elden Ring, after I get to maybe Horizon. I'll be waiting for a sale on that, of course. But after that kind of, after this spring.
It's crazy.
Session. Yeah. I'm gonna go into this, and I actually can't wait for it. I think it's gonna be fun.
Good. I can't wait. I'm gonna platinum this game. I'm gonna platinum it, and this is the start. I have 4 more endings to play, or 3 more endings of the game.
You say that, but then you're gonna get hooked into Elden Ring, and then you're gonna say, "Wow, this game's really great. How am I gonna play more games like it?" And then you're gonna go back and you're gonna play Dark Souls 3, and then you're gonna play Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, and then you're gonna play Bloodborne.
Variety's the spice of life, though, baby. I don't know if I can get locked down to the FromSoft. I might get locked into this FromSoft, though. Right. You never know.
It's a drug.
I also just want to say that this is a big note for me when I was playing, is the economy has been rebalanced. I know I've said that before, but like, seriously, there was an issue there with like buying even the antidotes or the heals or whatever they call them. Like, there was I had a total like drought of them halfway through the game, and I had to buy some because I did not have enough health for boss fights and stuff. And I was like, it was so expensive, and cars were ridiculously expensive. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to buy these cars if I'm not getting paid enough for gigs. So now there's like a total rebalance of like, if this gig is hard, you're going to be rewarded eddies, which is the money for that gig. Cool. And then the stuff that is like a smaller gig will be, you won't get as much money for it. But that is like such a huge change for me that like motivates me to like, oh, I can do this harder mission and get a lot more credits for it. Like, that is cool to me. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of changes that I'm so excited to jump back in, and I'm going to be playing a 4K 60, baby. Like, that's exciting. I don't have to play this game in 30 frames per second, which is
4K 30, but I think it's downscaled to
No, it's 4K 60.
It's 4K 60.
Unless
that's
you
insane.
Don't turn, but that's without ray tracing on.
Yeah. Right. But have you seen the clip of ray tracing it's and the
gorgeous.
Difference it makes?
Looks it's amazing. Gorgeous.
Oh yeah. My God. Just the
that's
light.
That's how the trailers were back
alone.
Then.
Yeah.
That's how it should have been.
So eventually. But guys, thank you so much for watching. If you want to watch the whole podcast, become a member here on YouTube or listen to the whole thing for free on audio platforms. And that was Cyberpunk. Moving on.
Lost Ark developers race to relieve pressure on servers in wake of huge launch. This comes from Polygon. Lost Ark, the massively multiplayer game taking Steam by storm, will receive a new server region in an attempt to alleviate long logging queues for European players. The game has had an explosive launch weekend that it saw it became the second most played game of all time on Steam. Wow. Yeah. Going by peak concurrent players, at 1.33 million players, it narrowly beat the peak numbers of Steam, Stalwarts, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, and Dota 2. But the question is, how many of those million-plus players were actually playing the game? Although Lost Ark seems to have had a smooth launch in the Americas, European servers have been beset with very, very long login queues. At any one time over the weekend, hundreds of thousands of European players were waiting to be able to play the game. Developer Smilegate and Amazon, which publishes Lost Ark in the West, that has been available in South Korea since late 2019, have announced a plan to create new European server regions to singular to alleviate the overcrowding. But this plan is not without controversy for the game's frustrated European audience. Players who have already invested serious time, unlocked rewards, or established communities in the game will see no benefit from the new server region, beyond fewer new players trying to create characters on their servers. In Lost Ark, you cannot transfer characters from one server to another, and while some resources and activities are shared across servers, nothing can be shared between characters or players from different server regions. Smilegate and Amazon insisted that a new server region was the only possible solution. Quote, due to the game's architecture, this is the only way to accommodate more players in Europe, end quote, they said in their statement. In recompense for the distribution, Smilegate and Amazon announced that they would make a gift package, including a new mount and more, available to all players. The gift will be available after the new server region launches, and anyone who plays a game before March 1st will get it. Vincent,
yeah,
I read Lost Ark, and I see Amazon Studios, and I'm like, what? This seems like New World Part 2. What is this?
No, it's so this game has been out in, it's been out in, not Europe, but overseas further for years. This is
South Korea since like 2019.
Just South Korea? I feel like it was more, but maybe not. Maybe just
I don't
South
know.
Korea.
Maybe.
Anyways, yeah, for years. Huge MMO, huge people like watching it for years and years. Like, when are we going to be able to play it? That kind of thing. Comes out this week. Like, the game apparently is like so polished now because it's been out for years. Like, it's like a great experience. Obviously, the server problems, but that's literally every game. Like, I guarantee Destiny's going to have server problems next week. Like, it's just 100%. Multiplayer games in general. But, dude, I've been watching this, and it looks so fun. It looks great. This Twitch has been, like, above a million people watching, like, at all times this last... I mean, it's probably down a little bit now, but that was during launch. It looks like people are saying it's, like, a mix between Genshin and League of Legends, and that's, like, the MMO, like, niche. Like, you have certain characters that you're... kind of maining up. Like, I don't know, it looks very, very cool. I'm excited to play. It's free to play. There's no subscription or anything for this MMO, which is wild. I'm sure there's in-game stuff you can buy, but I've seen a lot of it this week. I think it would have been amiss if we did not mention it during this podcast, because there is so many people playing it right now.
Okay,
Brad, have you seen anything about it?
I have not seen anything
okay,
for
this
game.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm right.
I'm on their Steam page right now.
It's 70 just gigs, like, and that's what stopped me through. From downloading it right now.
Yeah. Anytime when it comes to MMOs, I just get so like intimidated that I'm like, oh, I don't want to know about it. You know, I've never been. I don't want to say into. I've never been exposed to that sort of world. So that's why it's all like, it's great. I understand the gravity of those games, but I'm just like, not enough. Too much for me.
I like the smaller experiences, and if I do have a longer experience game, it's Destiny, which I've been playing for so long.
Yeah, that's kind of that feels like the most craziest thing I've experienced. Yeah. Like, oh, it's close to it, you know what I mean?
Which is weak sauce.
Yeah, I know. 100%. Okay, I guess moving on now, right? We're good? Okay. Yeah. Netflix has announced a long-awaited BioShock film. This is cool. We've seen a lot of video game films starting to come now. Netflix is going somewhere beyond the sea after it was announced that it's producing a live-action film based on the BioShock franchise. In a tweet, the streamer announced that it will be partnering with 2K and Take-Two on a live-action adaptation of Ken Levine's popular immersive simulation set in an underwater city that was meant to house the greatest minds on Earth before descending into chaos. Hollywood Reporter says no writer or filmmaker is currently attached to the project, but plans of the movie have been in the works for almost a year. We have a statement from Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick. He says, they say, Netflix is among the best and most forward-thinking storytellers in all of entertainment today, and we are thrilled that they share our vision and commitment to the BioShock franchise, which is beloved by millions of fans around the world. Zelnick added that 2K's Cloud Chamber Studio is deep in active development on the next iteration of the series, and coupled with our partnership with Netflix, we remain highly confident that BioShock will continue to captivate and engage audiences like never before. Now, I want to ask, Take-Two and 2K, they did It Takes Two, right? Aren't they on?
No. I think Take-Two
Interactive is not
associated
with
it. Yeah, they're not associated because they had a lawsuit. They had a lawsuit that It Takes Two and Take-Two. But who published? Who was the publisher, though, for? Because they.
I don't know. I want to look it up because I'm curious on. I thought there was.
Take-Two
was the publisher
of It Takes Two? No.
Oh, so EA.
Yeah,
or It Takes Two.
But
Take-Two publishes Grand Theft Auto, 2K.
So the parent company of 2K.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Have you guys played
2K? No, sorry. 2K as in the sport, like the basketball game. 2K.
But
yeah.
2K also is the studio that makes 2K
video game. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. So they're the parent company of Rockstar, 2K, and they have a private division.
That makes sense.
The farthest I've gone into.
Sorry. Private Division is the developer that made Ollie Ollie World, Hades, Outer Worlds, Kerbal Space Program.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Kind of the same vibes. The farthest I've gone into the BioShock is watching videos on the story. And I know there's a lot of deep story there with the context of like the past and what happened with that. But yeah. I haven't experienced them. What about you guys?
James?
I love BioShock. I think like it was ahead of its time when it came out. I'm interested to see how it'll translate to a film context.
Because I just played BioShock, remember?
Right. And Vin, what are your thoughts having played this game recently?
I think his story is great. I love the story of BioShock, and I think it definitely could translate to a movie very well. But I could also see it being awful. Like I could see it being a Resident Evil, whatever we just got with the Disney actors and stuff like that. It's just weird. But I think, the Rapture, it's post-apocalyptic. It's very sci-fi. Like these are
the world itself is just really, really cool.
Yeah. I think that could definitely translate to a movie very well. So
Let me ask you guys, do we need a video game, a film, live action film or series adaptation for every game, for every iconic big selling game? No, if it's one to expose them to the game or two just to make more stories.
It's tough.
No, because it's strong though, because games are its own art medium that I think I think good games can't be experienced any other way.
That's fair.
Or let's say the best games can't be experienced in any sort of media format. In the same way that the best books can't be experienced in any other media format. Like the best books, even if they have great movie adaptations like Harry Potter, it's still not the same as reading the books.
Sure.
For me, it still feels like video games, I mean, even now, aren't as mainstream as like films are, you know what I mean? Like I know it's getting more and more popular even now. I know hundreds of millions of people play, but it feels still kind of like not everybody knows about this, you know?
I think there's a cultural stigma behind games, but
true,
games are the most lucrative entertainment industry in the world.
You're right. I forget about that.
It is the most profitable entertainment industry in the world. So
wasn't it like more than NFL or something like I heard games make more than sports now or something like that. I don't know. But
so I guess I agree. I agree with the best that you're going to experience is in its original medium form. But I do also like the idea that people that are not into that form can still experience some sort of that story, even if it's not the greatest. Like, I'm very excited for the Last of Us TV show because there are plenty of people who are never going to play the Last of Us game, and I hope
they need to experience.
I think it's an incredible story that other people should experience. I just hope it's done well. It might be bad.
Yeah.
It might be bad, and then it's that argument goes out the window if it's bad. But,
Because then you would rather have, I mean, sorry, I don't know how to put words in, mouth, yep. in your mouth. You would rather have them not, like, would you rather have them not experience the story at all than to have a sort of like
yeah.
a butchered secondhand experience with it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Probably.
Let's see. On your own time, just watch a video, like a summary, a 5-minute video. That's all you need. Then watch the show and get ruined. No. And say, this is Last of Us. This is horrible. Yeah. Pedro is awful. I was like, that's not what Joel is. That's not what Joel is.
That's not mm-hmm. how it goes. Hmm? Gosh. Next up. Is it me or
oh,
you?
Oh, sorry. You're right. It is you. Okay, it is you.
The Wii U and Nintendo 3DS eShop are going to be discontinued. This comes from americasupportnintendo.com. As of late March 2023, it will no longer be possible to make purchase on the Nintendo eShop, the Wii U system, and the Nintendo 3DS family of systems, and it will also no longer be possible to download free content, including demos. Furthermore, as this date draws closer, related services will cease to function. You can't add credit cards, you can't add funds to the eShops, and you can't use a Nintendo eShop card if you bought it previously on these systems. So, 21 Gun Salute, farewell to the Nintendo eShop on the Wii U and the 3DS.
Go left-handed? What's that?
I don't know, I just...
why is it reverse for me?
There we go. Okay. So RIP, sorry. Don't purchase anything on here anyways because they're all going away.
Yeah.
Don't waste your
time. Some people are really upset about this.
I'm not. You know what this makes me think of? What? So anyway, what? Every time we talk, we're like, it's Wii U with the new announcement of Nintendo Switch Sports. Did y'all have that on here?
Oh yeah, baby. I can't wait. Okay, we talked about it last week. I can't wait for Nintendo Switch Sports. But
as one system dies, another comes with announcements.
People have been emulating 3DS and Wii U games on their PCs for years now, so I don't know if people are really that upset.
Yeah, and as Gene Park pointed out, there's also like a lot of coveted games that never released to the eShops that a lot of people wanted to release on the eShops.
Yeah.
That it like you'd be better off just getting a physical copy secondhand anyway.
Right. Yeah. And physical just never goes away. It'll never go away.
Right, physical. No, you're a big advocate for physical games.
Big advocate for physical media as a whole.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Raise it all.
Breaking news: the Crunchyroll app is now available on the Nintendo eShop.
Great. Oh, you can watch anime on your Switch now. Let's go. I guess.
Yes, sir.
A couple episodes before the battery dies.
Yep.
Go.
All right.
Take us
this
away.
This is me. This is an interview with Platinum Games. Hideki Kamiya saying, and this is the tagline, this comes from Video Games Chronicle, Platinum Games doesn't want to be known as just the action game company. This also comes from Nibelian. I have a few summarized points, and then we're going to get to like a more specified an interview chunk. So here are the summarized points. Both want...
Who's both?
Platinum Games.
Both what?
I think it's the... I have no idea.
Project G.
Oh, sorry. It's both the president and vice president.
Okay.
So, it says in their first English interview since being promoted president and CEO and vice president, respectively, Inaba and Kamiya shared their ambitions for the future of the Japanese studio. So this is both of them. Sorry, I had a mild heart attack.
No, you're good. You're good. For a second, keep going.
Who is both? Both want Platinum Games to go beyond linear action games. Project GG could be the first glimpse at Platinum Games' future. Kamiya wants to revive Scalebound, and Inaba wants for an acquisition of, or is open to an acquisition if Platinum Games' freedom is ensured.
Do you think Platinum's going to be acquired by Microsoft? Is that kind of like
which
talk?
This is where we get into the next article.
sorry.
Okay. Hideki Kamiya says he's totally serious about resurrecting Xbox exclusive Scalebound. Mm. Last week, Kamiya attracted major press attention after he told IGN Japan that he'd like to open discussions with Microsoft over the possibility of revisiting the action RPG, which was planned as an Xbox One exclusive, but was eventually canceled in 2017.
Yeah.
For real quick, did you guys see watch the initial Scalebound trailer, like at the early E3s in like 2016, 2015?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember what it even looked like.
It looked so fucking cool. Yeah, it looked cool.
Cinematic trailer, though.
The design was like
no, it was gameplay.
Oh, okay.
It was gameplay trailers. You need to go back and look this up, Vincent, okay. Because it was so cool. It was like
the dragons were fighting. I'll never forget those moments. Yeah, he was there. Yeah. It was cool.
You have control over your dragon. Like you can make like a team.
Oh, they canceled
the open field. It was nuts.
Yeah, they canceled that. Oh, it looks so cool. Anyway, they said, quote, "We did a lot of work on it and it's no use." This is Kamiya. "We did a lot of work on it. It's no use Microsoft keeping the game in its current form, so we'd like to do something about it." He was quoted as saying, Kamiya added, "Phil, let's do it together." As to elaborate on the comments in a soon-to-be-published Video Games Chronicle interview, the newly promoted Platinum Games vice president claimed that he wasn't joking about revisiting Scalebound. Asked if Platinum was already in conversations with Microsoft over Scalebound, Kamiya replied, "I can't confirm or deny anything, but we could be talking to Microsoft. We could also be talking to Nintendo, Sony, Capcom, Konami, or anybody."
We could be talking to anybody.
We could talk to anybody. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
You're crazy. Yeah, we're just silly. We're all over the place. Both Xbox and Platinum Games had previously given explanations of what happened with Scalebound, but in recent months, Kamiya has moved to take sole responsibility for the project's cancellation. In a video on the Cutscenes YouTube channel, published in November, Kamiya blamed Platinum's inexperience working with Unreal Engine and online features as core reasons for Scalebound's cancellation. Asked why he felt that he'd have better luck working on Scalebound a second time around, Kamiya told Video Games Chronicle he believed that Platinum had grown since its development ended. Quote, "Nothing super surprising has changed, just time. As a company, we've gradually grown, gained experience in terms of technology, and more people," he explained. "At the time when we were making Scalebound, there was a lot we couldn't deliver on, and that was hard for me. It was hard to fail like that. When the project went away, it wasn't like the very next day I was thinking, I've got to try again. I needed a rest. But time passes, things change, things are different now. I've had some time to think, and yeah, I'd like to try making Scalebound again. That's my feeling," end quote.
I feel like he said that three times in this article.
I don't know. Discussing Scalebound in 2020, Xbox boss Phil Spencer shot down rumors that the project could be resurrected and said that he had no hard feelings for Platinum Games, saying, quote, "It's a tough one because I have a ton of respect for Platinum, Kamiya-san, the team, and I feel no ill will," he said at the time. Quote, "We talked to those guys. There's no animosity between the teams. We tried to go do something and it didn't work. And I regret that we were so public about what we tried to go do," end quote.
How close do you think this game was done when it got canceled?
What?
How close do you think this game was to done before it got canceled? I'm looking right now. A lot of footage.
60%.
60%. I want to say like 40. I think it's a big vertical slice. I think it's a big vertical slice. I think there was a lot of maybe like narrative issues. I think there was a lot of other stuff going on that, you know, kind of impeded this game from being made. But as it exists right now, I don't think Phil Spencer is very down for Scalebound based on the statement from 2020.
His attention's elsewhere right now. It is Starbound, maybe. Right.
Starfield.
Starfield thing.
I think it would
you're good.
If
it's Scalebound.
James is trying to pull something out here. What's going on?
Yeah.
No. I was just
okay. I don't really have anything else to say about Scalebound. No. I guess Platinum.
James, you want it. You want it.
You want it.
No, that's not what I'm trying to make a point. Like right on the tip of my tongue. I know, okay. But you just kept talking. Okay.
I'm trying to fill the gap.
Xbox kind of needs a Japanese acquisition to show Japanese markets that he cares about them. It seems like Japanese markets are not interested. And like, if Platinum Games seems like kind of the most opportune publisher or developer, but Phil Spencer doesn't seem to want them right now, or at least doesn't seem to want Scalebound. And so I feel like that might be a breaking point for the deal if that deal was to come into question. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
They're like, cool, we have the funds now. Just do Scalebound it, and it feels, I'm not going to buy it. Yeah.
Right, so I think Platinum and Kamiya would come up and be like, yo, like, we're open to an acquisition if it means Scalebound. And Phil would go,
no.
I don't know about Scalebound. Yeah. And then they'd be like, sorry, it's off.
Mm-hmm. What else have they been working on recently, Platinum? What did they just Platinum Games
is huge. Bayonetta?
Yeah, are they so, okay, let's think about that too. Bayonetta is like exclusive to Nintendo, but Platinum Games is not exclusive to Nintendo.
Right. Well, but like,
yeah,
they like, and if they were to be acquired, then you'd probably think about Bayonetta titles And think about it, Bayonetta 3 is the only title out of the three that is exclusive to Nintendo. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so an acquisition could bring Bayonetta 3 to consoles. They also did Nier Automata,
yep.
But which they also have other projects, right, which is not exclusive. And, well, maybe is Nier Replicant also made by Platinum? I would assume so. But also Astral Chain, which was a Nintendo Switch exclusive, came out on Nintendo Switch.
I need to play Astral Chain still.
I do too. And The Wonderful 101 was a Wii U exclusive.
Gotcha.
I think.
All right, Ryder, take us into this next one. Unless you got
I was going to say, do you want to take Witcher? Because I got some thoughts on the Call of Duty one.
Bet. All right, sounds okay, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go for it.
Witcher 3 studio forms... Witcher 3 director forms new studio, Rebel Wolves, with ex-CD Projekt devs. This comes from Polygon. Former CD Projekt game director Konrad... Oh, man, Swedish name.
Oh, Tomaskiewicz.
Tomaskiewicz, alongside several other former Witcher and Cyberpunk devs, have formed a new game studio called Rebel Wolves. Rebel Wolves' first title, an untitled AAA dark fantasy RPG built with Unreal Engine 5 and the first in a planned saga, is currently under production. Rebel Wolves is targeting PC and next-gen consoles for his untitled story-driven RPG. Tomaskiewicz, who previously worked as a game director on Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, is head of production slash secondary game director on Cyberpunk 2077, will serve the CEO and game director of Rebel Wolves. He resigned from CD Projekt Red May of last year following a months-long investigation over allegations of workplace bullying. The commission formed to investigate these allegations reportedly found him not guilty. In a news release, Rebel Wolves said it will be a studio built on the foundations of fairness, teamwork, and openness, unified by the mission of putting the team first always. They believe that happy people create great games as they endeavor to revolutionize the RPG genre with their first project. I'm stoked because AAA Dark Fantasy RPG world, that's great. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. And keep going.
Oh yeah, sorry, from Nebelian, he says Rebel Wolves plans to grow above 80 employees in the next few years and wants to make diversity a priority. He also commented on NFTs and whether they want to make them, and he says, it's very simple. We won't have them in our games, ever. End quote.
End quote. Yeah. Round of applause for that.
Yeah. So cool. Can't wait to see. Cannot wait to see what they got cooking.
I'm super excited for the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's like, so, I don't know, this is my watch list, would be like Rebel Wolves, There's No mm-hmm. Moon, which is like ex-Naughty Dog devs, and the one we were talking about 2 weeks ago, that had the cool website that we were looking at. What were they working on?
Oh,
I forget. But those are like three on my watch list right now.
Also, Blue Point's currently on my watch list because they're doing their first independent, like, new IP.
Hmm. Interesting.
Very cool. Every time there's like a new studio being developed by, you know, by developers that we know, they're good. I think they understand that they have talent and they have skill, and I think they're excited to always do stuff that's like, oh, we can do our own thing, kind of
exactly.
Not as restricted, and so that's always that's the exciting part, because we see it at like E3 or some Games Fest, or like from the creators of blah blah, they create their own, and they're like, oh, here's a nice game, maybe not as big, but it's better because it's at its core,
yeah,
they were able to make it from the heart.
Totally, I agree.
What was I gonna say? Are you talking about the X Respawn devs?
Yep, there it is. They're making an FPS that's not Titanfall. I forgot the
name of the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, there we go. They understand. Cool. They know.
They know what we want. They're trying to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of what we don't want, Activision confirms this year's Call of Duty is a sequel to Modern Warfare 2019. Now, Modern Warfare was, I wouldn't say a peak, but it was a great iteration.
It was the last great Call of Duty game that we got.
I think it really pushed, if anything, the cinematic genre of a campaign, and I thought it was phenomenal.
Awesome campaign.
Phenomenal. Here we go. With little information was shared today, it was announced that this year's entry is a sequel to, of course, 2019 Modern Warfare. Of course, they're going to be doing a new game and a new Warzone experience, and they're going to be designed together from the ground up. This year's single entry, being a sequel to Modern Warfare, shouldn't come as a surprise, considering this has been rumored for a while, and last year, it's supported the game will be featuring a morality system similar to that seen in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Interesting.
Okay. The report also stated loss of limbs and more realistic gore would be featured in the game, and characters will react to incidents in the game that are in a more believable way. Of course, they always push the genre that way. Okay. With its release, a new map will come to Warzone. It will be inspired by the new game and consist of various character classic points of interest, which is what they, when they do that, it's always great. Like, we've seen it in Black Ops 3 when they did Blackout, and they brought back a lot of zombie locations and stuff. That's I think, what a lot of people enjoy. Yep, yep. The map will also be home to a third new mode for Modern Warfare 2, Simulation Battlefield 2042's Hazard Zone, utilizing AI-controlled combatants and real players. Of course, this is being led by Infinity Ward. New game and a new Warzone experience are being developed with a new engine, and you can expect a massive evolution of Battle Royale with all new play space and a new sandbox mode. Then that's all the intel, really. Hopefully more will be coming in the month to release, because you can kind of, we saw this on Twitter. We saw this post, so we were talking about it together. You can kind of see the state of Call of Duty, considering they're already announcing their next game when they're not even, what, halfway through on Vanguard? And they're like, yeah, Vanguard's not good. Announce Modern Warfare. Yeah.
Right? Let's get the hype going.
One thing is for certain, though, that the game will arrive for PlayStation, confirms Phil Spencer, even though, you know, the acquisition of Activision just happened by Microsoft, so that's good to know, and it won't be exclusive. I have some thoughts, and at this point, Call of Duty, it feels like, especially the last 3 years, I feel like if I'm not playing it or if my cousins aren't playing it, it's not good, because we're always on peaks, and that's why I know, okay, the Call of Duties are doing well, and I think by replicating Call of Duty so many times, it should become a live service, kind of like Destiny. That's how I feel, because like with Warzone, it feels like they're doing like, hey, let's just do seasons and keep it going. But of course, pull back on the microtransactions and keep the original content coming like they do. But like with Zombies is, you know, being headed by Treyarch fully. And I think that's a step in the right direction.
Do you think you would want, like, let's say an alternate universe here where Warzone just continues to be updated and updated, because people are playing it every day and a lot, and it's making a lot of money, right? A lot. Mm-hmm. And then let's say Call of Duty campaigns and multiplayer scale back to every other year, and then we get a separate Call of Duty Zombies game, maybe like every 3 years, which is a big Zombies game with a lot of content, not just like two maps that are thrown in with the campaign and the multiplayer.
Zombie Chronicles 2,
remaster. Huge experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be, that's the move right now. People, right now we're getting a campaign and multiplayer with a shoehorned in third side content thing.
Absolutely.
And it's not working. It has not worked for a little bit.
Warzone is their cash cow to fund the games. And they're like, what can we do with it? And Modern Warfare, I think this second one could be kind of like a little revitalization. I don't think it'll be a big one, but with the, you know, like we said, the Modern Warfare that happened in 2019 was a big, like, this is great. Bring it back.
Yeah.
The engine was cool. I think a lot of people really enjoyed it. I think a new engine is what they need right now. Cause and that's another thing too. When it comes to the engine, the way it plays, that's what kind of pulls me out of it, right? The Black Ops 3, Black Ops era, I love that engine, even though it's like more cartoony and artistic. Mm-hmm. I like that a little more. But I don't know. Do y'all like more realistic in like Call of Duty, or like when it's like crazy, like double jump or whatever?
I mean, my favorite Call of Duty is like Black Ops 2. Like I'll play like that is like forever my fave. I didn't love the jetpacks or like Black Ops 3 had the double jump stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like Modern Warfare, because I felt like it stripped it down, but still had quick movement. You could slide, you could do the really fast run. But then I played Black Ops Cold War, and I was like, it feels chunky, bro. Like, I feel so, I feel like chunky from I Think You Should Leave. You know what I'm talking about? Big guy. Just like, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't played Vanguard at all. I played the beta, and it was I'm just not excited about future of COD. Like, I'm not excited about
it.
It feels like they're kind of in a dying era. I don't want to say not really dying, but it's like, you know, a lot of games are being created. Like even Battlefield, for its attempt was like, hey, let's try and do something, you know. Yeah. So I think Call of Duty is kind of just sticking to the same campaign multiplayer zombies, right? Or campaign multiplayer wars. And it's like they're doing it every year. Like you got to change the form. You got to do something different here. But
yeah,
I mean that's what Call of Duty is, and they make money doing it. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. It makes a lot of money. Even though Vanguard did not sell well, I'm sure it sold way more copies than a good percentage of games that came out last year. That's just the hard truth.
Surprisingly. And it seems like it was marketed like so underwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Like, bad. Like I didn't see nothing for it.
Yeah.
But Black Ops always seems like it's like people are there in lines for the GameStop. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's Black Ops.
Black Ops is like more recognizable name share right there.
Yeah.
But that's moving on, unless you got...
I shouldn't say anything.
Go for it.
I think this is to be expected. Like, we have to treat every Call of Duty game with its respective developer in mind, right? Treyarch is always going to be... They're always going to be the ones to put out the Zombies content the best as possible, because even when Infinity Wars put out Zombies content, it's never as well received as Treyarch. So 100%. If we want that, like, a Zombies Collection 2, if we want big like sort of zombies content packages and this sort of like, and thinking about this idealized sort of like how Call of Duty would release content. Would it be a two, three-year cycle in which we like every 2-3 years we get a zombie thing? Maybe that'd be best. Maybe,
yeah.
Or what if we instead parsed off different aspects of Call of Duty to different developers? So like
that's
Treyarch.
That
so like
perfect.
Treyarch, you do the zombies, and on your cycle, you'll release a zombies thing. Mm-hmm. While we'll still have Infinity Ward doing their Modern Warfare at multiplayer Warzone cycle. And do they still have Sledgehammer? I am not like.
I think Sledgehammer did Vanguard.
Okay.
But they also did World War II, and they all like some of the low rated ones.
So maybe they.
Sledgehammer's a liability.
Yeah, they talk about the incorporation of it. I think that's what they were trying. They were kind of like combine all the campaign and zombies to make a story. So maybe they're working on the cohesiveness of the whole franchise. You know?
Who is?
Sledgehammer. I think that's what they were trying with Vanguard. Like everything was like connected in a weird way.
Did Vanguard have zombies?
Yeah, Vanguard has zombies, but it's like pulled into the story, but it's like kind of weak right now.
Who
but I'm saying like they're
who made that?
Sledgehammer.
The zombies? Sledgehammer
no, Treyarch.
Made
like Treyarch.
Sledgehammer made
Treyarch
the whole. Sledgehammer made the whole game.
No,
Treyarch doesn't dip into other developers and make their zombies. Treyarch just does zombies in Treyarch games.
Okay, because I heard something that Treyarch is like now like just doing zombies and they're kind of pushing that. And
I
don't
heard
know
that
if they
too.
Did Vanguard, but
I heard that too, but I don't think that's. I think when other companies do zombies, it's their thing. It's not Treyarch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Sledgehammer did do zombies in Call of Duty Vanguard,
right.
And they have done Vanguard, World War II, and Advanced Warfare. Those are the three games that they're responsible for, right?
Which all have been poorly received.
Yeah.
And I think they tried to copy the last zombies thing because it's almost like the same thing, just minus story Easter eggs and stuff. But they just kind of replicate.
I mean, and they have Raven Software now. Which is
they do have Raven Software now.
And they're in charge of Warzone right now, and they also are in charge of Black Ops. They have all the rights to Black Ops just as much as Treyarch does.
Man.
I don't know. There's too many studios. They need to just make a Call of Duty studio.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's probably going to be conflict between Raven and Treyarch, especially as Raven is unionizing, and so I'm curious to see how that plays out in terms of like work distribution and project distribution among the studios.
I'm going to say, as soon as Jason Blundell left, it all went downhill. Jason Blundell was the head of Treyarch, and he did he made zombies. Man, that era was like.
Did he start a new studio?
He's starting a new studio. It's called like Deviation Games.
Oh, that's right. And they're making a co-op.
They're doing their own thing. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be great because he knows. Yeah. He knows how to do it.
Good callback. I forgot.
Yeah.
Callback. Okay. I mean.
All right.
Moving on now.
To random fun stuff, baby.
Fun stuff. Let's go.
Random
back and
fun stuff.
And forth. RFS. Number one. This is hilarious. Dad gets money back after daughter spends $20,000 on Genshin Impact microtransactions.
That's where it's at.
That's really funny. Original Halo composers sue Microsoft over unpaid royalties dating back 20 years. Is this Marty O'Donnell?
No.
Marty O'Donnell? I don't think so. Maybe this is a story with a story. This is a story with an actual story, but I put it in RFS. Mm. It is Marty O'Donnell. Okay.
Didn't Marty O'Donnell have sexual assault allegations?
Well, I don't know. They just claim Microsoft still owes him money for themes.
So, last year, he asked fans to destroy his music.
Oh my goodness.
This has been going on since November.
Damn, I literally had no idea.
Martin O'Donnell gives a court-approved statement to resolve another legal dispute. this weekend asked fans to take down, stop sharing, even destroy copies of non-commercial work for the Destiny franchise, which he had been sharing online since 2019. Well, okay, so that's for Destiny.
Oh,
now,
okay.
This is for... Halo. Oh my god. Wow. Man can't catch a break.
Here you go. Battlefield 2042 has a refund petition and it collects 70,000 signatures. Will it happen?
Are you going to sign that petition, Vincent?
No shot.
I'm waiting for Game Pass, baby. It's going to come to Game Pass. I'm going to be so happy. I still haven't bought it yet.
The game's like a 6, bro. It's fun, but it's not that fun.
Baldur's Gate 3 should launch in 2023, Larian says.
Cool.
No Man's Sky gets combat-focused, mech-centric Sentinel update, which looks huge, dropped out of nowhere. Looks pretty cool.
Super cool.
When I like to relax, I pop up and I pop open the battlefield. I like to just snipe, and I'm just relaxing. I'm just like, snipe, snipe, and that's all I do in Battlefield. That's all I do. And for this is really cool. I saw this as well. For each player who has reached the Daunt in Horizon Forbidden West before March 26th, the Arbor Day Foundation will plant one tree. How great is that?
You can count on. I'm planting a tree this weekend, boys. Let's get
plant that tree, baby.
Hell yeah,
plant
that tree. Put that on your Twitter bio.
Plant a tree via Horizon.
Yep, exactly.
You're welcome.
Guys, that was episode 100. Ryder.
Episode 100.
Congratulations,
thanks
guys.
For joining us today, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was fun. Ryder.
Congratulations, you guys. You did it. You went through 100.
Triple digits. Guys, when I was making the thumbnail today, I had to make the episode thing smaller to fit 100 in the episode.
101, 102. Mm. That's going to be wild. It's just going to be an uphill journey from here. That's crazy.
Right. Keep grinding, boys. Love y'all. Again, if you're listening to this whole thing, but we have merch. Please check out our stuff because you only got like a couple more days to order it. If you're listening to this 2 weeks ahead of time, merch is probably gone. You missed out.
Yep,
we're really proud of it. It's really cool. We're gonna buy it ourselves.
I can't wait to have a show with us to be wearing our merch. It's gonna be great. Yeah. We love y'all. Stay tuned because we got a lot of stuff coming to the channel. We got a Batman review coming when embargo lifts. We have more freeze frames, more checkpoints, more one-off videos. James, you said you had a Wolf Among Us idea for a video. So who
I
knows?
Do have a Wolf Among Us video.
What? Who knows, baby? We'll see. All right, love y'all. I'm gonna roll the outro. Bye, guys.